honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our visit today with 96-year-old Phil Wright of Madera Ranchos, California, originally from Virginia's Shenandoah Valley, where he grew up as the oldest of six children. We heard about his World War II experience with the 567th Anti-Aircraft Artillery Battalion and how he met his wife of 75 years now, Hazel. But after World War II, while working multiple shifts in a rayon mill back east, Phil decided that maybe some of his other talents might serve the family better. If you were to go visit him today and realize your watch had stopped ticking, he'd probably be able to take it apart and make it good as new. Those mechanical repair inclinations have been with him for decades, and in 1948, he realized they might come in handy for the U.S. Air Force. So with Hazel's blessing, he investigated the possibility of returning to the military life.
Well, I was a watch repairman at that time, and so they assured me that I would get into the instrument repair field. So that's what I did. I was an instrument repairman in the Air Force.
What kind of instruments on what kind of planes?
All kinds of airplanes. Of course, back in those days, you know, the most of the instruments were mechanical. You know, they were not electric or did not have electric. Most of them were manually operated. So I had a pretty good field. It was pretty good. I advanced real well in the Air Force. I went from being a airman for second class, I think I was, at that time, to the grade of master sergeant. Then I became an E-8, which is one grade above a master sergeant.
Well, and that covers a lot of years. Of course, you had the Korean War, quite a few years there where the Cold War was heating up. Then, of course, the Vietnam War. And I know they sent you to Kirtland Air Force Base in Albuquerque, where we have some folks listening today on KIVA, the Rock of Talk, as they call it, in northern New Mexico. I don't know that we have any listeners in Morocco, but I understand you ended up in Casablanca.
Yep. We spent 3 years there, didn't we?
What kind of planes were you working on at the time?
B-29s, B-25s. Well, they'd have a problem with an instrument. I would either have to go out to the aircraft, troubleshoot it, decide what the problem was, whether I could replace that instrument or whether I could repair the problem and get the aircraft back in service.
Did you ever have to go up into any of those planes to calibrate those instruments?
No, I never was a flyer.
How would you explain the importance of the job you were doing? What was the impact of what you were doing?
Well, I was just there to maintain the aircraft and instrument systems and keep the aircraft in the air.
I guess maybe the way to ask the question is, if you didn't do your job correctly, what would the consequences be?
Well, that aircraft wouldn't fly.
If an altimeter's not working right, they may crash into the ground. I don't know if you saw it this way at the time, but it kind of sounds like that's a lot of responsibility. There are lives that are dependent on you doing your job right.
Yeah, we had good working conditions.
And at one point, I think you told me you ended up at Edwards Air Force Base where a bunch of the test pilots were.
Yeah, I was assigned to the test pilot school. And at that time, it was Chuck Yeager, and he was one of the main guys in the Air Force. And of course, I knew Chuck Yeager real well. Flew with him.
What kind of guy was he then?
Oh, he was just a fighter pilot.
Very confident?
Oh, yeah. Always. They're always confident. Those guys are always. They always think they know what they're doing.
So does that mean you were working on some of the instruments on some of these experimental, developmental planes?
Yeah, a lot of them. Early aircraft. Just flying normal missions. And they had targets that they were practicing with or on. So I was helping prepare the aircraft for a mission that they would be flying.
Well, and I got to ask you this because, you know, before when we talked about your Casablanca assignment, you said, no, I never went up in the aircraft, but you just told me that you flew with Chuck Yeager, one of the legendary aces of our country's history. So how did that happen? How did that come about?
If the back seat was open in an aircraft and we all had parachutes, we could get in the back seat and fly with the pilot. And I used to fly with Chuck Yeager a lot. We did a lot of things that wasn't really kosher.
Such as?
Well, flying up into the mountains in a P-51, landing on an airbase, and going hunting or doing whatever we wanted to do.
This is a two-seat P-51?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was that a bit of an adrenaline rush for you?
No, not really. But by then, I've been flying quite a bit. Didn't have an adrenaline rush then. I did when I first started flying, but it soon became old stuff, you know.
I got to ask, if I do the math, you know, by then, you've got a wife at home, and I think you're a father by now, too. So did you tell Hazel about flying with Chuck Yeager, or did you keep that to yourself?
We didn't talk much about the pilots that we flew with.
You think she might not have been a fan of that?
She may not have been.
If you're flying with test pilots, those probably aren't boring flights. There's probably a lot going on, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of test pilots there. I could fly with any pilot I wanted to fly with, but I just happened to be flying with Chuck Yeager a lot.
Was he doing some tricks?
Oh, yeah, he was always doing aerobatics in the air. We got along real good.
And you told me when you went overseas in World War II on that troop ship, first time you've ever been on the water, you said you didn't get seasick. Yeah. What about doing aerobatics with Chuck Yeager? Did you get a little sick with that?
No, never did. Never got sick with Chuck Yeager flying.
Chuck Yeager, of course, had become a double ace during World War II, shooting down 13 enemy aircraft, including 5 in a single day. By the time Phil Wright was spending time with Yeager at Edwards Air Force Base in California's Mojave Desert, Chuck had become the first pilot to break the sound barrier. We wouldn't have time, of course, to list all of Yeager's aviation accomplishments, but in the late 1960s, he flew 127 missions over Vietnam. Phil Wright's final years in the Air Force included his own trip to Southeast Asia during that time period.
I was sent to Thailand, maintaining the aircraft. Yeah, we were just into jets then. Changed our everything we did when they changed it over to the jets. It changed everything we were doing. Of course, they were faster, but they didn't fly as far. Those jets didn't have enough fuel to fly too awfully far away. But we maintained them, kept them flying.
So again, if I'm doing the math, so it's the Vietnam War. You spend a whole year at an air base in Thailand maintaining these aircraft, and you've got a wife and 2 teenagers back home in the States. How hard was that for you?
Well, it was difficult being away from your children, but we got along okay.
And I know we talked about everything you went through in Europe during World War II. Being there in Thailand at an air base, were there ever situations where you guys were in danger?
No, not in Thailand.
You know, we talked about World War II, and you told me about your friend Mott Roberts, who was killed. All your years in the Air Force, dealing with all those pilots and test pilots and air crews, were there ever times where you had to deal with losing somebody you knew?
We lost a lot of people we knew, a lot of test pilots. Someone was crashing, getting killed. That was just part of the getting along with the pilots, and they were being killed, but we all survived, all the ground crews.
How much guts do you think it takes to be a test pilot?
It takes quite a bit, knowing that the flight they're on may be their last flight. And so you had to think about that every day. We had a lot of respect for our test pilots. And I knew a lot of the young test pilots. I used to fly with them all the time. A lot of test pilots were killed during that time because they were doing maneuvers with those aircraft that was not supposed to be done, you know.
And maybe there's something I didn't ask you. Is there anything else about life in the Air Force for all those years that you look back on fondly or that you're thankful for?
You're thankful you survived it because there were many aircraft crashes that you could have been involved in, that I could have been involved in, but I wasn't. I think about those days. It's all passed over now.
Something else I want to ask you about. I think you probably have some good memories from this. A little more recently, a few years back, you got to go with a bunch of other veterans and your granddaughter and your great-grandson to Washington, D.C. with Central Valley Honor Flight to see the World War II Memorial and the Korean War Memorial and the Vietnam Memorial, and you were in the service for all three of those conflicts. What was that experience like for you?
Well, it was nice to see some of those guys again. We had a lot of memories together. We were always pretty good.
Well, that better be the way it is. And I have another question for you about your Honor Flight experience. But while we're on that topic, I've been getting a lot of questions lately about Honor Flight and when veterans will again be able to take those free trips to Washington, really paid for decades ago with their selfless service. The answer is Honor Flight hubs in the eastern United States have resumed their one-day trips. It's a little harder from the West Coast, given COVID concerns over a 3-day experience. But Honor Flight Kern County out of Bakersfield will actually be taking a plane full of veterans in this week ahead. So if you're one of those loyal Hometown Heroes listeners who finds this program on KNZR radio in Kern County, you'll have a chance to greet those heroes when they return from their honor flight. In this COVID era, organizers there had the creative idea of holding their welcome home event outdoors instead of in the airport. Not far from the airport there in Bakersfield is Turk Eliadis Field at North High School, named for a World War II fighter pilot and POW who shared his story on this show, by the way. But more importantly, he coached football at that school for decades. And that stadium at North High is where you can welcome home that Honor Flight Kern County collection of veterans spanning from World War II to the Vietnam generation. Try to get there by 7:30 on Thursday night, September 16th, and I promise you will not regret it. Again, that's for those of you listening in Kern County this weekend, or really anywhere within driving distance of Bakersfield, California. So back to Phil Wright and his Honor Flight experience. I'm really interested to know what was going through your mind, Phil, at the National World War II Memorial, where they have the pillars for your home state of Virginia and the state where you've spent most of your life, California. They have those 4,000 gold stars representing over 406,000 Americans who never made it home from World War II. What was at the forefront of your mind when you were there on that hallowed ground?
Ones that were, that didn't make it. You always thought about the ones that didn't get back.
How should those men be remembered?
Well, they were very, very brave men. But we all had a job to do, and most everybody did their job and did it well.
Yeah, I don't want to put thoughts in your head or make something that's not there. But I'm just wondering, while you're standing at those memorials in Washington, D.C., particularly the World War II memorial, where you had friends who were killed and you knew it could have been you, and you've got your granddaughter and your great-grandson, neither of whom would have ever been born if you didn't come home from that war. Did that strike you at all? Did you think about that, how different things might have been?
No, not really, not at that time. But we had a good time on it on our flight.
How did that welcome home make you feel?
Well, it made you feel pretty good. We were all glad to get home.
I'm just wondering, because we talked about how during the war, what it meant to you to get a letter from this teenage girl who would end up your wife of 75 years. When you were on the honor flight and you were coming home and they called out mail call, did you have a letter from Hazel in your envelope?
Sure did. Sure did.
How did that make you feel?
Feel like I was wanted. Someone cared.
I put Hazel on the spot with you listening and said, what does she appreciate about you? How about you tell me what you appreciate about Hazel?
Well, I appreciate the quality of person that she was. She cared about me and I cared about her.
And as you look back over all these years and all these experiences, is there something that you would say you're most proud of or most thankful for?
That I survived everything. I had a lot of tough times when I first got in, but everything turned out good. The hardest part of the war that I went through was the Battle of the Bulge. That was tough during that time. It was cold. We lived in a foxhole. It was really cold.
So is there anything in 96 years that you haven't done yet that you're still looking forward to?
No. I think I've experienced all of life.
And how about, maybe this is a tough question, but maybe you've got an answer for me. You know, because most of the people that'll hear this on the radio weren't alive during World War II. They don't know how close we were to Germany or Japan winning and how different our life would be. They didn't deal with losing buddies or losing classmates or losing the guy in the foxhole next to you. What do you think is important for us to understand? What do we need to know about you and all the other Americans who helped win World War II?
Well, we were just ordinary Army soldiers at that time. I didn't do anything extraordinary during my time in the service.
I think giving 21 years of your life to your country is pretty significant.
Well, we didn't consider it significant at the time. Now you know that you were in the service at a time where it was pretty demanding.
What do you think about when you see the flag?
I honor the flag every day of my life. Every time I see a flag, the flag represents the whole United States. We were all a part of the Army or the Air Force at that time, or the branch of the service we were in. There were some very trying times during the Second World War.
I've had a lot of veterans say that they feel like America was more united then, that there wasn't as much division.
Well, that's true. They were more congealed at that time.
Okay, I've got one more question for you, and then if there's anything else that you want to say, feel free. But when I asked you what you were most proud of, you said that I survived it all, right? Well, how do you explain that? Is it luck? Do you take the credit? Do you give the credit to somebody else? What's your explanation for you getting through everything you've been through in 96 years?
I was lucky. I saw a lot of people killed. I was just lucky. Oh, I know that God was watching after me. during those years. Those were some bad years. We survived them.
And what keeps you going now?
I guess just that my heart's still ticking.
Like a good watch?
Yeah.
Well, I want to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for telling us about it.
Thank you for being concerned.
Phil Wright, 96 years old, and of course a big thanks to his wife of 75 years, Hazel, as well. Check out those photos at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. Thank you so much for listening today. I'm Paul Leffler, hoping you can join us again next time on Hometown Heroes, when we'll be reminded again through the stories of our veterans that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.